Hi guys, it's Kara, host of Everyone's Business But Mine. And let's be real, one thing that makes the show possible is by selling sponsorships to advertisers. One way you can support us in getting more sponsors is by telling us a little bit more about yourself. You can do that by filling out a quick survey at the link in the show description. Plus, your answers are anonymous. They'll help us learn what you love most about the show and how to make it even better. The questions will ask you about the things that help advertisers understand the audience. It'll only take a few minutes, and it's an easy way to help the show. So you can find the link in the show description. Thank you so much, and stay tuned for the rest of the show.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Natalia definitely is not happy about the 10 dating apps. I think she's pretty shocked. The reason we have 10 dating apps is it's not a common thing to live polygamist in plural. You know, it's so to find people that are interested in that, it's not common.
I'm surprised that you still have these apps today. It's a huge number of apps.
Yes. That was very unwise and not the way I should have done things.
Is there anything else I don't know that you need to tell me?
Welcome back to another episode of Everyone's Business But Mine with me, Kara Berry. Potentially, I think we might need to prepare ourselves, me especially, since I'm doing this on a recording, to possibly be involved in some sort of lawsuit for stalking. I cannot believe what I watched. We're going to have to get into that later, but wow. Yike. I've seen a lot of things, and gotta say this is the first one, but we'll get into that later. Welcome back to another episode of Seeking Sister Wife over here at Everyone's Business But Mine. This week we're going to start, surprisingly, with Slick Nick and Wilson Phillips, who had, I have to say, shockingly, maybe the least exciting storyline of the episode. So we're still like, things are wobbly, right? Like, Danielle's back in the house. We haven't really ironed all of the things out. April tells us she has still not had a one-on-one conversation with Danielle. And as the first wife in this house, as the matriarch of the family, thank you very much, she feels like it's really important for her to sit down, talk to Danielle, and tell her how it affected her and the rest of the family. And also figure out why the hell Danielle left in the first place. How they have not found an answer to this is so funny to me. How is that possible? Like, I am somebody who, one thing about me is we're going to talk, okay? I'm going to get my questions answered and we're going to get down to it. And so, like, to just be, especially sharing a home with somebody and you're co-parenting with them and you don't know why, like 8 days ago, they just took their house plants and dipped into a place that they got a whole ass lease for. And now they're back and you're, you know, sharing bagged salad and corn together and acting like nothing happened. Like, no, ma'am, that's not happening. Why did you leave? What's going on? So they sit down to fold what I guess is their uniform for the week. It seems like there was a lot of boho chic themed laundry, a lot of flowered bell-bottom leggings that were being folded. April says that she just does not know if Danielle understands the seriousness of the impact of her leaving and all of that, and like when she left, because thinking about it, Danielle got the finances to get this apartment, did not give them an opportunity to talk about it, which leads me to like more finance thoughts. What do you mean? Like, what are y'all's finances like? Is this like an early day sister wives where we're all pooling money together and just like using it that way? I'm curious as to like why she brought up the finances. Because maybe the other aspect of that is like, girl, you know, it's only three of us on this mortgage, so you can't just be like coming and going, because I need to know if I need to cover your other part, you know, because I got a baby to feed and Vera, you know. So fair enough, April. So then, you know, Danielle tells her, listen, I just felt like if I did things by myself, it would be less hurtful to everybody else. And then April starts to cry and she's like, I was wondering if you left because it was too much for you. And if that's the case, like, how am I going to know that you're not going to do it again? And Danielle says, well, this is the part that makes me feel bad because I didn't mean to cause any harm. Like, it really hurt me to see Nick and Jennifer upset about it. But honestly, April tells her, it was probably most hurtful for me or Vera because I'm trying to brush your teeth. And she's not letting me because that's what you do. So Danielle's like, you know, that hearing that breaks my heart because that's one thing I'm proud to do. And then she talks about how much of like a present parent she is, which I've been giving Mr. Philosophy, Confucius over here, kadoos for being a stay-at-home parent. Okay, like at least you're doing something other than reading your little books, right? But if she's being like a very active parent and being like, rain, like the United States Postal Service, like come rain, snow, hell or high water, I'm coming here to parent these children. What is Nicholas doing? What's happening here? Slicking his way out of parenting. So Danielle tells her, I love you guys with all my heart. And in a way I can never forgive myself because I would never want my children to think that I abandoned them or I didn't love them or anything like that. And April says, yeah, here's the thing, Danielle. You need to forgive yourself. And then she kind of flips it on her. Because I forgive you. We all forgive you and we all understand. So don't carry that burden, Danielle. You don't need to. Then April tells her, I choose you. Okay? And you mean more to me than expanding this family and adding another girl. But then she very quickly says, and so because of that, I think we need to take it slow on dating. Now, Danielle, I hope you hear that because this could be the conversation that confuses things for the rest of y'all's relationship until it ends where you're thinking, oh, I got a soft pillow to sleep on tonight. And I'm going to be sleeping real hard because Nick's not doing any swiping. And he is, ma'am. Swiper, yes, swiping. So be careful. So then April, the matriarch, tells her, I need to know that in the future, you're going to talk to me and communicate with me. And if you're having a hard time, that we're going to be able to work through that. And Danielle says, okay, baby. And now I'm confused again, because what? Are they dating? There does seem to be sexual tension there, like more than any sexual tension that I've seen happen between Nick and any of the women. More than Nick and Danielle, Nick and April, Nick and Jennifer. I mean, Nick and Jennifer do have a little thing going on, but Danielle and April, I'm sensing tension. I feel like something's going on. Like, what side of the bed are y'all sleeping on? Which quadrant? Are y'all sharing the side? Your wing? Your wing of the bed? And what's going on over there? When everybody's sleeping. And when Nick and Jennifer are in the boom boom room, what are you two up to? I'm just wondering. I'm just wondering. So then April says again, like, I'm going to do whatever it takes. Just promise me that you're never going to do that again, that you're never leaving. Danielle says, I promise, baby. I'm so sorry, never again. April says in a confessional that they want to hold off on dating just to make Danielle more comfortable because, you know, I love her and she belongs here. And the possibility of her leaving again is kind of looming over everybody. But we also need to know that, like, she's not going to do this again. I'm like, okay, well, I feel like there need to be more conversations happening. Namely, why did you leave Danielle so that we can figure out how to keep you here? Instead of just being like, take a blood oath to stay. Let's unpack. Because there just seems to be something like simmering under the surface. There's an elephant in the room. And I don't know why they're not addressing that. All right, let's move on to Naeem and Nyla. They're back. They are back. And they're on the road in their matching red outfits to pick up Keisha. Keisha from Atlanta from the airport. Their potential sister wife. I told y'all this was not a good idea. So Naeem asks Nyla, what would you think if, let's say, perhaps Keisha were, when we were at the airport and I gave her her flowers, like, what if she were to give me a kiss? Like, not a kiss on the cheek. I'm talking, like, slob me down type stuff. And she says, what do you mean? Because if it's not a kiss on the cheek, I'm going to pop you in the forehead because nobody's just going to be slobbing you down without permission. He's like, oh, I'm just kidding. He's been thinking about it. Let's be real. So they go stop and get some flowers before heading to the airport, right? And I realized once they get out of that car, oh, wow, you guys really are matching. Why did they both come out in khaki pants? Why are y'all both dressed like Target employees? Like, what's going on? Was it the perfect Target red and the khakis? Two of y'all and neither of y'all saw that? How is that possible? That would be the first thing on my mind. But honestly, I think I might answer my own question. Naeem has such a shitty attitude. This is, you know how people say, like, oh, you know, like, that person seems like they haven't been fucked yet? Like, Naeem feels like somebody who hasn't been to Target. Like, he's just so on edge. He doesn't have a place to escape to. You just, something about, like, the overhead lighting of Target has never touched Naeem's and really, like, body and presence and really seeped in. I can tell that. He's never been to Target. And honestly, that sounds like a much cheaper and far more beneficial situation. Just send him to Target every time he gets a little edgy. You know? Just take him there. Drop him off in the linens aisle and come back in 30 minutes and see if he's not a better man. Maybe that'll help. Let's try that out before we skirt on down to the East Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania airport. Wherever the fuck they're going. So anyway, they go off to this, like, quaint little place that has the flowers that they're getting. They got this little outdoor place. So, you know, it's a very typical TLC scene. I'm going to have to get something. I'm going to get your flowers. Why don't you check out the property? AKA film the scene. Very conveniently, I'm going to come out at the very end, right when you're done with this conversation. Wouldn't you know it? Anyway, so they're out on this, like, property. It's so cute. And while they're waiting, Nyla says, we need to talk about the ground rules for tonight. Like, I know everything's going well, but there's absolutely no way she's spending the night tonight. Like, we got her that hotel room. She will be checking in and then checking out. Thank you. Later. And Naeem is like, oh, yeah, no, I wasn't thinking about that. Like, I hadn't even considered that. Not once. Never. Nyla says in a confessional that the terms of rules of intimacy, when they're dating, hand-holding's fine, a little peck on the cheek's fine, no sexual contact before marriage. And Naeem says, you know, I think she's on board with that, but, you know, I think maybe she thought she was going to be at the hotel. Like, I didn't think about that at all. Never once considered her coming back to our house. But she thought that. So I just wanted to put that out there. So then Nyla goes, did you think that you were you considering staying at the hotel with her? And he goes, no, hadn't even thought about that. No, I would have to meet her in person before I even considered that. So you have thought about that. You've already created a condition. And the condition is you just seeing her, which is what you think is about to be happening. I was not even going to consider that until I looked at her and made sure that she was as hot as I thought she was. After that, it's a different story. Why don't men just tell the truth? I know that that is a... I know what I just asked, okay? Like, I get it. But just, like, in this instance, he has the opportunity. Like, you've already got the green light to be with somebody else at some point in time. Don't tell these fairy tales like, oh, I've never once considered this woman that I'm thinking about being my wife, and we find out later, sent pictures of homes to so that we can move into, that you've never once considered her in an intimate way. Just tell the truth. Because that sounds fucking stupid, Naeem. Nobody believes that. And if you hadn't, it would be odd. You know what I mean? Because clearly you're a very sexual man. Naeem tells some story in a confessional about how they had courted some woman before and they had kissed on the lips. Excuse me. And after that, she basically was like, fuck Nayla, and was not trying to communicate with her and was only trying to talk to Naeem at that point. So they're like, well, now we have to take our time. So Nayla says she's going to be dropping the walls from the past. And then we get our typical, like, we have to shock somebody. So that florist comes back. Hi, here's your floral arrangement. Oh, this is so beautiful. And Nayla makes a great point of being like, oh, I bet she would like it. She loves those colors, remember? And so the lady's hitting her beats. Oh, who is this floral arrangement for? Naeem says, oh, we're meeting a potential sister wife. And she goes, okay. All right. So Naeem goes, do you know what that is? She goes, no, not a clue. So Nayla says, well, I'm sure you've heard of polygamy, so we're going to have a new wife joining the family, and we're all going to be living together and, you know, making a larger family. So the woman looks like she smelled something bad, which is crazy because she's clearly surrounded by flowers all day. And she says to us, I've been in the floral industry for 30 years, over 30 years. This was my first polygamous customer. So a producer asks her, what did you find out about polygamy today? And she goes, truthfully, they're assholes. Like, I would not deal with multiple people because it's hard enough with one. What happened, babe? What did Naeem say to you? Did he snap at you too? What happened? After that, Nayla wants to make sure she's got all her bases covered with Naeem and asks him, just so we're clear, you're not even going to go up to the hotel room with her, right? And he goes, no, no, no. I'm just going to drop her off, get her key, get her checked in. I'm going right back in the car. And she goes, okay, you need to text me as soon as you get back in the car. She knows. She knows this man is a slick willy. You shouldn't have to be doing this. Even at this stage, y'all should have better ground rules than this. You're making sure the 13th hour, like, okay, like, you're really not going to go up there, right? Like, not even... Like, you're going to have to call reception and be like, tell me how long he's up there. Count. You might as well just be on FaceTime with him, girl. With the both of them. Nayla says on a confessional, she does have her moments of jealousy, but that's her issue. Like, it's not necessarily an issue that needs to be spoken on. You just notice it. You realize that you're human and you keep it moving. And this is exactly how men have been able to been trapping most of these women into these situations where their body is telling them, I don't want to do this. And yet they're like, just stuff it down, girl. Just stuff it down in the name of religion or whatever the fuck. Just keep it moving. Like, when are we going to be like, my body's telling me no, and I'm going to go with that. How about that, Nayla? How about that, babe? So when they get back in the car, Naeem tells Nayla that he got a bunch of text messages from Keisha. So she looks at his phone and goes, oh, wow. So looks like she's having second thoughts on this. I'm going to tell you what she wrote. She's having some concerns about how everything's going to go. She said she has some loose ends to tie up and that she's not sure how time is going to go and how much time it's going to take to do all that. And then yada, yada, yada. She needs to find a place to leave her car because she's staying with the friends of hers. But then before she can leave her friend's place, she's got to move all her stuff into her friend's guest house. So at this point, they realize, actually, how are we even getting these text messages right now? Because you're supposed to be on the plane, Miss Mamas. So why aren't you in airport mode? What's going on? they're driving to the airport thinking they're about to pick her up in like an hour or something. They spoke to her this morning. Not any of these concerns and all these situations, errands that she's got to run came up until just now. So they're trying to call her. The calls aren't even going through. So Nayla says, okay, well, let's just stay calm. Let's see if she texts us back. And then here comes Naeem with his shady little attitude. Don't tell me to stay calm. Okay. Then he says, this feels like a setup to not come the day of when you knew you had to do all of that stuff. Naeem says in a confessional that, listen, like, his disappointment can turn into anger sometimes, but mostly he's got to worry about his wife. So then we skirt back to the house, flower in hand, two sad Target employees flopping on the couch. And Nayla says, you know, like, it's hard not to put up a big wall after this. And Naeem says, listen, we were sending her houses. I'm sending her links to houses to potentially move into. And then Naeem really does, like, he tries to get the team back together and says, you know what? We made reservations. You're still beautiful. I'm still fine as hell. So we're not going to stress out. It's her loss. No, we just have to time out for a second. Like, okay, these excuses that Keisha gave her were very Atlanta excuses. What? I was like, I'm confused. You're living with a friend in the main house. Your friend has a guest house, but you're not living there. You're living in the main house. But before you go on this seemingly quick trip to meet people, it's like a weekend, maybe a long weekend at that, she's going to make you move all of your belongings from the main house to the guest house. Does that make sense to you? And you knew this prior and did not one lick of effort until the morning you called them. Hey, babe, can't wait to see you. Click. And then your life just went to shit. So you can put your items in the guest house, but you can't leave your car there.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
How were you going to get to the airport? It's almost giving hobosexual, but also it seems like Naeem paid for this trip, so if you needed a home so bad, you would have hopped on that flight and been real sweet so you could have a place to stay. So I'm just very confused. Like, I'm thinking, like, if I'm a wealthy friend and I have my friend crashing and she's like, oh, I'm just going to go up to meet some people. I'm going to go on a quick trip. Okay. Why would I be like, move all your shit from one place to the other? What sense does that make if she's going to come back? Y'all didn't think about this at all. Like, y'all, it just seems like they're more upset that she just ghosted them and not that she's very obviously lying. This is very clearly like the first 7 minutes of any catfish episode. Like, if I were Max or Cammy, you would be seeing my eyebrows raised from behind that video that they make them hold. Like, what's going on here? What is going on? Like, this is catfish, babe. So they go over to the restaurant. They've changed clothes. They're now in, like, matching whites and blues and whatever. And Nayla says, You know, walking into this date tonight that we were supposed to have with Keisha, I'm very disappointed. And frankly, I'm glad you said it, girl, because I am too. Y'all had reservations to this place. There was not one single other person there. Unless they were all behind the camera. We just see one person. This is like a shack. Like a crab shack. I mean, like, it literally like a shack on the side of a road, which is fine. I'm just not sure why we're making reservations for this place. Also, I looked it up online, because if y'all are eating, I want to know what's going on here. And the place has like $50 for 50 wing specials on Sundays and a slider special on Monday. Like, what are we making reservations for? Again, this is not a place that I'm not saying I wouldn't go. I'm just saying, like, I thought we were going to, like, not here. Not here. And I don't think I'm being bougie. Like, if somebody told you, if your potential boyfriend told you, oh, you're coming in tonight and I made a reservation at a restaurant and you walked into this place and it had, like, a gravel parking lot, and it was like literally like it looked like a double wide trailer, and its main decor was like the dollar store fake ivy on the wall, like, you'd just be like, okay, you could have just said we were going out to eat. Like, I would have just read, you know what I mean? You hyped me up a little bit for this one, but we're gonna move on, because you know what, Keisha's not here, so she's not gonna get a slider or a damn wing anyway. With your fake ass. So Naeem says, you know, I'm just disappointed because I would get calls from Keisha in the morning and she'd be like, oh, I have meetings to go to, but I just want to check in with you, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh my God, who the fuck did I marry part two? Was this Legion? Was this Legion? This is why I said somebody from Atlanta was not a good idea. Not a good idea. So Naeem tells Nayla, like, I think that the best way forward for us is to move away from social media. We got to get to meeting people closer, like within driving distance and face to face, because I want to meet people weekly. We don't have to worry about this kind of stuff. So Nella suggests, I think that they do like polygamous type events, like, so we at least know that these people are interested in what we're, you know, they're picking up what we're putting down, right? We don't have to explain everything. And so Naeem does say, like, oh, we've tried that before, and people have still let us on, even within the polygamous community. And Nayla says, well, you know, she tells us, real-life interaction scares me, because I've never done it before. Like, I don't know what people's reaction's going to be, so that just kind of requires me to be extremely open and vulnerable, and, you know, I got to take on the opinion of other people. And I'm like, did you not consider this before, Nayla? Like, you know, at some point, I would be more nerve-wracked to have spoken to somebody online and then meet them and have this big thing where they're flying in town and blah, 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 than me going to an event or even just, like, meeting people randomly. Like, don't you think? Like, that seems way less stressful than talking to somebody, building up a fantasy. Because here's the thing. Nayla thinks that this shit isn't going to be real. She thinks, oh, ha, ha, we're just going to type, get our little Twitter fingers ready, do some flirtations and a little sexy selfie. And it's never really going to jump off the page. That's why she's never once considered, like, because why is the idea of meeting people in person so scary to you? You knew you were going to have to do that. You were about to split a plate of shrimp with Keisha. Why would that be less nerve-wracking for you? I'd be, like, shaking. So then Nayla tells Naeem, every time I go into this, I try to go into things really hopeful and try to make friendships with people. But then, poof, they disappear. So I just wonder, like, how I can even open myself up again. And Naeem tells her, listen, going through it makes me want to stop too. But then Nayla tells him, I don't want the actions of some people to affect us pursuing other people. Naeem says he's not scared of seeing what's out there. Like, of course you're not. You're fucking horny. And she goes, well, I'm glad you're not. And so that's the end of them for this week. Okay, man. You would think that Joel and Slackjaw would... Well, I assume that Joel and Slackjaw, again, would be our closing. But, no. We've got some real freakazoids coming up next. So let's get into Joel and Slackjaw for this week. We are 2 days, y'all, into Mexico. Two. Joel is still at that island trying to chop the pain away and pretend like he's real invested in this dinner. Still trying to lie to Slackjaw because she tells him, now, if you still have those apps up, you were showing me new pictures of people. And he's like, no, you can't see those pictures unless you pay. So Joel tells us, Natalia has my phone. She sees a dating app and it looks bad. It's terrible. Danielle and her just live it. It's not a good situation. Joel then attempts to get a little bass in his chest by telling Danielle, says, well, after I disabled things, you can't see them anymore. And I can only respond to the old people. And I told both of you that that's what would happen. So Danielle says, no, you can still talk to them. And he goes, no, you can't. So then Danielle has to mimic the, like, I call it the mouth thing, you know, thumb and the rest of the fingers to talk, that motion. She's doing that to Natalia so that she can understand, like, oh, yeah, he's still talking to people on these apps. Natalia nods her head, like, yeah, I get what you're saying, girl. And then the translator says, for other women, you keep appearing on the profile, and you can still chat with any of them at this point. Joel tries to act like he's confused and, like, no, I can't do that. And both of them are like, yes, you can. So then Slack says, I told you this a long time ago. And Natalia tells him, when you're ready to look for another wife, then we can reset your account. Danielle tells us in a confessional that even though Joel is technically not active on these dating apps, if he's telling Natalia that he's not going to be adding more wives until she gets to America, then what's the point of even having the apps at this point? Like, just be honest and say, I'm really wanting to date more people because I feel like that's what the bottom line is with him. Like, finally, Danielle, he just wants to get to fucking, girl. And then there's this very silent but deadly move that Natalia makes. Like, she's really that girl. She is really that girl. She's holding Joel's phone. He tries to get it back from her. And she, like, very low-key is like, mm-mm, nope, stares at him until he starts listening to her. So she's getting in that translator app, you know. She says, listen, the problem is the fact that you told me that you would delete all of your dating apps, but I see now that you're on them. So she asks him in English, do you understand what I'm saying? And he goes, yeah, I understand. I understand what you're talking about now. Oh, okay, now, Danielle, now you understand. Okay, interesting. So then Joel looks over at Slack and tells her, remember, I told you I wanted to settle things up with past people because I didn't think it was fair to, like, not engage with them anymore. I didn't want to be rude to them. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Joel. Then he says at a confessional, when I quit talking to people, I guess I just didn't take the next step and, like, thinking it through because, you know, I did what I said. Like, I stopped talking to people, but I just didn't take the next step of actually deleting the apps, even though I explicitly told Natalia that I was going to for no real reason. So now Slackjaw, oh, she's primed. Okay. She's getting real sarcastic, real surly, surly little Slackjaw. Oh yeah. These women that you haven't messaged in months, they really care about you finishing conversations up with them. Really? Okay. And he's like, well, you know how I am. I don't want to be rude. And then Natalia cuts in and says, if you don't have a relationship with these people, I don't understand why you have to reply to all these people who message with you when it's been months. So then Natalia says in a confessional, I feel betrayed once again. He was the one who proposed deleting these apps in the first place, and yet I'm the one who had to catch him where his phone's blowing up notifications from these dating apps that he told me he was going to delete. I didn't ask him to. He told me. So then she tells him, I go my bedroom, okay? And now Joel's like, oh, God, I just ruined it, right? In a confessional, he says, I definitely think I hurt my relationship with Natalia. She doesn't know me that great. She may not know where I'm coming from. I was going to propose tonight, and that ain't happening. Tonight? Tonight? This man wants to get his dick wet so bad, but he wanted to do it before reality set in with Natalia, and now that the cover's blown, he can't do that. He wanted to propose on day 2. sir, how long are you guys on this vacation? I was thinking, and I think Danielle was thinking too, like, oh, we're going to have a few days. We're going to see how this feels. And then maybe halfway in. This ain't a 4-day trip, I can tell you that. He wanted to propose tonight. He is out of control. And then we get to the next morning, because she went bedroom, okay? We get to the next morning, and it's now just Joel apologizing to Slack, just the two of them, okay? And he's got his reading glasses on, real nerd style. So I'm like shocked that he's apologizing to her, of all people, but you know what? She went bedroom, so he can't talk to anybody else, right? I mean, technically, all he says is like, hey, so, yeah, I'd like to talk to you about, everything last night. I feel really bad. And then he just stares at her until she finally, like, gives in, right? Slackjaw tells us that last night was real rocky and rough, and she's feeling, like, not really sure where this is all going to go, how everybody's going to move forward from this, what time Natalia's departing flight is going, when is the Uber coming. Everything's up in the air, you know? And then Joel says to her, you know, I think I should have just listened to you, I think. Oh. Well, may wonders never cease. Joel says in a confessional that Natalia is definitely questioning his attentions and wondering if he's a good guy. Is he a deceiver? Is he a man of his word? And then Slackjaw's just nodding like, yeah, she should be thinking that. I'm thinking it too. So things are not looking good at this moment. So he tells Slackjaw that she and Natalia need to be his priorities. He doesn't want to displease God or the two of them, so he's sorry. And Danielle's like, oh, it's okay, it's okay. And he's like, oh, I'm really committed to you and Natalia, and I don't want to jeopardize that. Like, that's all she needs. All she needs. Now she is fully waving the flag of Garrick. What would be on a Garrick flag? Those fucking aviators. And just a dumb, this is a man with a dumb look on his eye. Huh? How is this possible? How is anything in this man's life possible? Like, it's truly one. How does he even know how to tie his shoes? It's crazy to me. So anyway, Danielle's now, oh, he's so sensitive. I know he never intended to hurt me or Natalia. I think he realizes what he did now, and he really wants to make it right. I know he loves the both of us. Okay, girl. Do you? I don't know that, girl, but you're the one in the relationship. You got it. You got to feel it, girl, not me. So now he's like looking at Slackjaw and he's working up a tear. Just like staring at her. Just be like, ugh, please get a tear up. Please get a tear up. Look like I'm upset. So she goes, you know, we've only known Natalia, what, like 3, almost 4 months? And he goes, yeah, I still think I need to propose, though, to show her that I'm not playing games with her. Now the goalpost has moved. We've gone from I'm proposing because I love her to I'm proposing to prove to her that I love her and that she's important to me. And Slackjaw's like, yeah, God is going to lead us to this walk together. I love you. And then they kiss. Ew. Joel says that he wants to apologize to the both of them. So Natalia comes downstairs at this point. So they fire up the translator app. Love. He calls her Love. Guess who else he called Love? Roberta. Love, I just wanted to let you know that I should have listened to Sister. So she's looking out for my good, and I need to get my priorities right. You and Sister are more important than anybody else. And Natalia says, I understand. I just hope you can change now. I think it's important that you recognize your mistake and hope it doesn't happen again. So then they pass the phone to Slackjaw, right? And she says, I know that Garrick never wants to hurt anybody, and he doesn't want to hurt you and I more than anybody. He doesn't want to put other people before us. Natalia's like, what the hell's going on? For whatever reason, now Joel is fully crying. Fully crying. He says, I need you guys to help me figure out how to delete the apps. sir, long press and click delete. And now you need help. Oh, can you help me do it? Because your fingers couldn't bear to delete these apps. So you need them to physically remove them for you. So Natalia, great question, babe. Great question. How many do you have? Do you not even remember? Slackjaw hands the phone over to Joel. And Natalia says, you don't need the translator. You can just say like 1, 2, 3. Like, just tell me. I know numbers. Okay. So Joel's now scrolling through his phone. Scrolling through those apps. And he goes, well, there are lots. And Slackjaw, you can hear her from the side, goes, 10. There are 10. So Natalia holds her hands up, all the fingers. Like, am I hearing this right? 10. Dej? 10. Natalia says in confessional, I thought it was just one, a single application, but it turned out to be 10. His reasoning, he's always got a reason, that Joel. The reason why I'm on so many apps and why we're signed up to so many sites is because not a lot of people are looking for polygamists. Like, they're not looking to live plural, so he's got to, like, cast a wide net, right? Natalia says, I'm just surprised that you still have these apps today. Like, it's a huge number of apps. So Joel says, yeah, that was very unwise and not the way I should have done things. So Natalia asked Joel if there's anything else that I need to know. He goes, not that I could think of. Well, sir, you don't do much thinking. So not the greatest question for Natalia, because what could you get from that? Even at his best, not much, girl. Natalia's not done, though, right? The lawyer jumped out. So she asked Joel, how would you feel if I told you I was going to delete all my dating apps and then I didn't delete them? Just to, like, respond to people. And so he's like, well, I feel disappointed in myself, like, because I absolutely hate lying and doing anything like that, and I'm very ashamed. So you knew. You knew this whole time that you were lying, cheating, scheming, scamming. And this is probably the game that he plays with Danielle every time. He can make sure to drum up a little tear, make his eyes wet and pink again. And that's all she needs to be like, oh, I know your true intentions. You would never try to hurt me. And then we're putting the chains back on. Like, it's crazy. Like, I see so many people in my mentions being like, Danielle deserves so much better than this. He's terrible to her, blah, blah, blah. But then I see this behavior where it seems like she's very much privy to him and very much willing to, like, co-sign his shenanigans. And I'm thinking, like, how much empathy are we supposed to have for her? Because the shackles come off. We see them come off, and then she goes right back into that prison and puts them right back on. So at what point do we say, you know what? Let's not call the dogs anymore. Because then Joel says in a confessional, even though my intentions were not to deceive or trick Natalia, and even though it looks bad, there's going to come a time where we're going to have 5 wives. So the 10 dating apps are going to come back. Okay? She's going to have to work through that too. He's wild. He's a wild boy. Like, I just don't understand how a guy this slow can be so diabolical. That's what's really tripping me up every week. Because I just feel like I could outpace this dude. Laps, laps, laps. Like, it'd be like Serena Williams versus, like, me on the court, you know? Like, actual me. Like, I would just, it wouldn't even be worth it. You know, that's what I'm like, I'm not understanding how he's getting all these women. Because intellectually, it's just not really clicking for me. Anyway, so Natalia says, I just hope you're being honest. Like, I really, really need you to not lie to me again. And so she says in English, promise? And now he's wiping tears again. So Danielle has to run defense. And she's like, no, Garrick didn't want to hurt you. I know that. And Joel goes, no, but I did. Now Natalia is side-eyeing the fuck out of both of them, fully rolling her eyes. Like, she does not care to hide her judgment of the situation. And says to Danielle, you always worry about defending. He has to know how to bear the consequences of his mistakes. Exactly. Period, Pooh. period. So Danielle again, well, I know his heart. And I've learned from him over the years, like, I'm not trying to defend him, but... And then even Garrick looks at her and goes, no, just say that you know I'm wrong. Give it up, Delicious. It's over. So she says, no, I do know he's wrong, and he knows it. And then Joel Osteen says, you know, I'm sorry, I won't do this again. Please forgive me. And Natalia's like, okay. And they hug. And she looks at Natalia, or Natalia looks over at Danielle and goes, are you okay? You good, girl? All right. So Natalia says in a confessional, I think he understands what he did. I just hope that I'm right in giving this vote of confidence and that he won't disappoint me anymore. I love him. Otherwise, I wouldn't have given him that chance. I only did it because I really like him. But in time, I will know if he will really fulfill his promises to me. So then we fire up the translator app again. And honestly, I wrote down what he said. Barely could make sense of it. What did King David say? Please, Lord, cleanse me with this, and I will be clean. Hyssop, he said. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. And then he looks at them and goes, hyssop is something that you put on a wound, and it'll fester the infection out. So I guess God had to fester something out of me that needed to be changed. You just lied. You could just say, nothing came out of you, okay? Nothing came out of you but lies and bullshit. Nothing was festered. I don't see any hyssop, okay? So they're just looking at him like, uh-huh. So Natalia's just like, okay, whatever. No more, right? No more. And Joel goes, yeah, no more. So if you guys did not know, they have Instagram lives that they started implementing and subjecting people to after the episodes, and they're not long, and it does seem like Danielle, she's at wifey_Merrifield on Instagram, did save them, or at least the last one. There really wasn't much. Danielle is so bad at social media, and that's really what, like, is great about the both of them. Like, they're so bad. Garrick does what he does on TV. He is horny and then post Bible verses. Like, he's constantly got his titties out and then talking about spiritual warfare. It's like fucking weird. But then wifey, just like, she just, you just tell, like, social media is just like not her thing. She revealed she's 36. She's 36 and he's 40. That's it. How is she younger than me? He's only 40? Yike. So basically, they talk about, oh, by the way, they're sitting in their bed doing this, and they've got a painting. It's like a print hanging up the bed of five women from the back. It's like a view of five women in bikinis from the back, like a painting, like an abstract-ish vector style kind of painting. She's like, look, the painting, there's five women. Cause you know, he's like, and God told me I would have five women and it would be good. So that's his dream. And, I will say they were different colored women. There was one that could be interpreted as Danielle, possibly. I don't know if Danielle's really click, like, which one are you, girl? Which one do you think you are? Because none of them were really giving. A lot of them were too dark to be you. Let's just be frank here. But anyway. Interesting photo. So Danielle, back to her being bad at social media, is clearly she's trying to steer the ship. And she thinks that she can just pretend that people are asking the questions in the lives that she wants to answer, because what kind of question would you ask Danielle other than like, girl, why get the stand up? Are you unable to stand up? Get out, girl. What's wrong with you? Why are you still with this man? By the way, Gary is looking at her like he's never, every time he looks at her, like a baby, looking at their mom for the first time. Like, I think I might
have heard your voice before. But all of this is just very new to me, and I'm not sure if I recognize you. Like, he acts like there's no rapport there whatsoever. It's very strange. But she's like, what are these questions? Oh, people really want to know how tall we are. Like, yeah, I'm sure that was the number one question for you two chuckleheads. Get real, girl. She did say that she's 5'6 and he's 5'8, which means that she's 5'7 and he's also 5'7. Joel tried to say that he tried to be 29 for several years. He attempted it, even though after he admits that he's 40. He also has been, I guess, complaining about having migraines. So he's got a green light in this, like, very tacky lamp at the corner of their bed. Their bed nightstand is, like, 5 feet away from their bed. Like, no function whatsoever. The green light does kind of work for me, for my headaches. But she wants to know if people can get Botox for their migraines. She's like, oh, this is such a great idea. Then we address, finally, the Holy Spirit of it all. And the sexual references that he was making in the premiere episode, right? And so Joel says, well, first, Danielle says, I can post the link to the article, the singular article, I guess, that says that DNA gets altered. And then Joel says, there's a scripture in 1 John about God's seed, and it means that if you look up the definition. So Danielle has to explain, like, she's clearly his translator. She has to explain that the Spirit of God is like his seed, being inside of people, right? And it's the same effect, but it's spiritual. And then they want to act like we're the perverts, like we're pervert. I'm pervert for interpreting what he said that way. No, he said Holy Spirit is semen. He said that. How else was I supposed to interpret that, girl? She's acting like we're the problem. And then Joel tries to insult us and be like, well, you have to be really spiritual minded to understand that. As if we're fucking stupid. Okay. And then he starts rambling about how 10,000 people walked away from Jesus at one point because he said, you know, eat my flesh, drink my blood. And they thought he was like talking some cannibal shit. And how, you know, if somebody were to say that today, then people would think that they were crazy, but Jesus wasn't crazy. Okay. What does that have to do with what you just said? Excuse me? And then somebody does ask, how did you find Natalia? Or, like, are you guys still together? They obviously can't answer that question. So she starts to get annoyed. And it's like, you guys, I told you guys to answer these questions or ask me these questions before we hopped on the live, which is like, girl, that's not how it works. And then, yeah, like I said, she starts to get annoyed and say that she hasn't watched the current episode yet. And really, she kind of has to psych herself up for it every week. So, ha ha ha. And that was about it. We got to get to the stars of the show because, good golly, Miss Molly. Y'all, we got to talk about Becky, Tenacious B, and Justin. What the fuck, you guys? The tenacity with Becky is truly jumping out this episode because they are packing up to leave. They're packing up like the law's coming. Like they're about to get evicted. Becky tells us in a confessional that they were really deflated after they got stood up at the boba tea shop by Desiree. But then they got a call from Stephanie out of the blue, which they say is like her vibe. That's what she does. So they explain they met Stephanie like 9 months ago, right? Love at first sight for Justin. It moved really quickly, but then all of a sudden she ghosted them. They had no answers. But as soon as she said, I'm sorry, don't hate me, come see me, they packed up. They're like, let's get out of here. There's nobody else in Justin's life outside of Becky and his family that he's ever loved like this. So they are gassing up the car, ready to go. Becky tells us that she invited them to come out to wherever the hell she lives, right? But the night before, like literally the night before, she started the same excuse as Keisha was. Oh, I think we're going to have to work. I'm going to be busy. But what did Becky and Justin do? They decided to take this trip anyway, because even though Stephanie has no clue they're coming, they're like, oh, we're getting this bitch. Justin says they figure that since Stephanie invited them and they booked a room, they figured the last time they saw Stephanie, allegedly, she just melted into Justin's arms. So they're figuring they could go 2-0 on that. They're just going to show up and they're just thinking she'll be happy to see us.
Yeah.
In the car, they're plugging in the GPS. Why does this woman say, okay, we're in for a 12-hour drive? 12 hours? And that's with no stops. To see somebody who does not want to talk to you or see you? Y'all, Justin is wearing his tank top for the drive. It must have been borrowed from Joel Osteen. Like, do they have a tank top line for polygamists? Like, what's going on here? Justin's only concern when they start getting on the road is whether or not they pack chapstick so his lips are moist and kissable. Sir, you need to be wondering whether or not people could put money on your books for you about to get arrested for stalking, sir. Justin says in a confessional, the only reason why they keep pursuing Stephanie in the first place is because when she goes cold, in their words, that it's because to them, she's the perfect one. Because her life has mirrored theirs. This is what they're hanging their hat on. They've been living similar lives. Are you guys ready for the example of mirroring? They both had kids at a young age. That was literally the only example.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
And you're driving 12 hours to see somebody who told you, I don't want to see you. I got to work or something. I don't know. Becky's talking about how she can see herself growing old with Stephanie and having these lovely grandmother moments like Robin over at Sister Wives. Oh, we're going to take care of the kids and the grandkids. And we're gonna be sitting on the porch and crying and watching Justin run around or whatever the fuck. Like, are y'all okay? So while they're driving, Justin looks over at Becky and sees that she's wearing this necklace. It's got like a big circle and like a little circle kind of attached to it. And he goes, oh, have the kids asked about the necklace? Have they inquired about it? She's like, oh yeah, they did ask the other day. Becky tells us that Stephanie got that necklace for her on their second date. And it's a Sister Forever necklace, which they're trying to interpret in their lives as like a sister wife thing. You know what? It would be really neat if somebody could just come up with a line of jewelry for this specific occasion. That'd be wild. And I got a name for them. And it's really going to knock them off their feet. So Becky calls Stephanie again. No answer. And then Becky says, well, I guess she's not going to answer. As usual. It's actually ringing this time, though. Do you guys not hear how this sounds? It's actually ringing. She usually doesn't answer. Usually she's got us blocked. But at this time, maybe we've upgraded to do not disturb. I can't even believe that I'm getting to watch this. This feels very ethically and legally dubious. And at one point, this might be in a documentary. But like for now, yo, you guys. So then Becky reveals to us that Stephanie actually told them that she's got this friend, this like dubious friend out there, who told her, I'm not going to be friends with you anymore if you keep consorting with these two if y'all keep dating? And I had to wonder, like, producers, ask them, what did the friend say? What was her issue? Was it Tony Alamo, your stepdaddy? Was it the fact that he was in jail for 11 years for what he did? And if y'all want to find out what he did, scoot on over to, I don't know, I talked about it in the top of the episode, Wikipedia. There's an Oprah interview that some of the escapees did, and a whole ass documentary. So, what does that tell you about Tony Alamo? Might not be great, huh? So, yeah, I want to know, why did a friend have the issue? And why did Stephanie tell you this? Listen, outside of the necklace, like, these people are giving very weird energy. Flying off the charts at this point. But it does seem like Stephanie is, like, not helping the situation. It doesn't seem like she's adding any normalcy to this dynamic, I must admit, based on what we're hearing, I gotta say. So basically after that, they're like, listen, even though this friend, this dubious, nebulous friend said something to Stephanie and threatened her friendship and held it over her head, Stephanie's already committed to us several times as a permanent sister wife. Like, she's already said this a couple times. So we just feel like if that's not the truth, then she needs to communicate to that to us. Which is why you're driving 12 hours? I wouldn't take a 12-minute subway ride. That's embarrassing. That's so embarrassing. So Becky tells Justin, well, I guess this is just going to be a make it or break it chip for us. And we're going to lay down the law. And we're just going to go and tell her, listen, you got to make a choice to go one way or the other. Because it's back and forth stuff is really getting to be too much, Stephanie. Is there a back and forth when she doesn't answer your phone calls? So then Justin says, this might be our final sucker ass trip or sucker ass move. Who knows? Sucker? No. No. Then Justin says that Stephanie's flip-flopping really hurts him a lot, and he loves her to death and will take a bullet for her. Yikes. Like, Stephanie, honestly, keep this footage for any future legal situation that you might get into, because this is, like, really good evidence. So then Justin tells Becky in the car, it's harder for us to play this cat and mouse game that they're playing than to just get the initial smack in the face of being broken up with. She smacked you guys, like, several times. What the hell? So then they say to us, we're finally ready to break this cycle with Stephanie. We're tired of being treated like crap, to be honest. Like, she could literally just throw us away and put us on the shelf whenever she felt like it. And then we were just going to be there every time she came back. Becky says, I don't want to be without her. But at the same time, I don't want to keep being hung up on by somebody who's just going to keep doing it to us and not appreciate all the energy and effort and time and emotional support and everything that we give. It's just like, yeah, for nine months, we've been giving 110%. They're just like real writhing each other up in the car. This is psychotic, you guys. And then Justin says in a confessional, we love her, but we're not sure if she loves us or not. She's either playing us or she's super busy and she just doesn't have time to see us. Okay. Well, if those are your only options, why are you driving there? Either way, it's either option is like, she's playing us, don't come. She's busy, don't come. What's not clicking for you two? So then Justin goes over to Becky and goes, you know, maybe we should just pay for Stephanie's gym membership to kind of soften her up a bit. And Becky goes, yeah, we want to get her happy. So Justin goes, you know, when we were on good talking terms, Stephanie told me that she was being driven crazy because she couldn't go to the gym and she loves going. And, you know, I just thought maybe I'll just renew her subscription as soon as possible. So they pop into the random Orange Theory. Becky goes, oh, hi, I'm just trying to renew my friend's membership. But we don't see her inside, right? So Justin tells us, when someone promises you everything and says, I'm going to be there with you until the day I die, the only thing you know is to be generous with her because we love her so much and we're always buying her stuff. This is really bad, you guys. Real bad. So then Justin says, you know, hopefully this will help get rid of the doubt this round of doubt, and it'll prove that nobody cares for her like we do. And then Becky goes, I think we should just go to her house, you know, because at least like we can maybe see if there are other cars there. And Justin goes, well, that's only if she's not parked in the garage. And Becky goes, oh, but she's got windows to her garage. So I'm not afraid to hop out and look. I'm not afraid to do that. If y'all can see the face I was making right now, like I got the fucking chills. The way that they're speaking to each other and they have no awareness that this really sounds the fuck crazy, like really crazy. So Justin's whole explanation for all of this crazy is, I know that it seems crazy, but I told Becky that I loved her 26 years ago and we've been married. And I told Stephanie I'm in love with her and I intend to be with her the same way that I am with Becky. I'm sorry. Just because you told somebody that you love them does not mean that you're entitled to them for the rest of y'all's lives, whoever taps out first. And just because you said it to Becky doesn't mean that what is happening, you guys? Really, what's going on? So then they pull up to the neighborhood. Imagine being the camera person in the back of this truck, being like, I'd be texting production being like, am I going to be implicated in anything? Like, what is the, I'd be on LegalZoom, like making sure the camera's straight and also on LegalZoom. Like, what are the legal implications for a camera person, like in the back of a truck, recording people who are actively stalking somebody? Am I going down for this too? That's what I'd be doing. That's what I'd be doing. So now they're truly like on some Bonnie and Clyde shit. But like if Bonnie and Clyde were sugar babies, you know, I don't know what sort of exercise classes they had back then. How old is Orange Theory? But it's giving. Were they courting somebody else? Like, this is so weird. This is so weird. So then they pull up to the neighborhood. And Justin's like, baby, you just want to hop over the back fence real quick? So they tell us that the plan is for Becky to knock on the door. Because get this. Justin doesn't want to have Stephanie feel intimidated or feel upset. So he thinks that if a woman shows up to the door, that might help soften the blow for her. So the episode ends with us, we're getting a shot of the car, like it's rainy. So we're getting like a shot of the rainy passenger window because obviously legal implications, maybe that's what came in LegalZoom. Don't show any distinguishing views of the outside of the residence, please. That might be the only thing that helps you. So we're just getting this rainy window pane and you see like this purple blob that is Becky walking up the stairs and you know, the ring, the bing, bing, bong, nothing. Bing, bing, bong. Again, silence. And then we hear somebody say, hi. Oh my God. I can't wait for next week. I cannot wait. Oh, I'm freaking out. What is going on with these two? What is going on? I was not prepared for this level. This is like textbook. Like, look at the checklist of what would be considered stalking. They hit like four or five of them in this episode alone. And that was like 7 minutes of footage. Like I'm this is wild. You guys, thank you so much for listening. Thank me for speaking. Check out the merch. It's in the episode description link. Love you. Bye.